This is market-to-market producer Colleen Bradford-Krantz. Stand by for the Market Analysis Podcast. Send us any questions or comments to markettomarket@iowapbs.org.
This is the Friday, May 7, 2021 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. The grains again shook off poor export news and traded at levels not experienced since 2013. The move higher was aided by concerns over weather in both North and South America. For the week, July wheat added 27 cents, while the nearby corn contract jumped up 59 cents. China is still in the market for soybeans, and the supply risk remains. July soybeans improved 56 cents. July meal gained 15.70. July cotton expanded by $1.58 per hundredweight. In the dairy parlor, May Class 3 milk fell 40 cents, a mixed week. In the livestock sector, June cattle dropped 55 cents. August feeder shed 2.47. And the June lean hog contract expanded 3.12. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index decreased 102 ticks. June crude oil enlarged $1.30 per barrel. COMEX gold added $63.50 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index improved almost 18 points to finish at 523.05. Now here to provide an insight is regular market analyst Angie Setzer. Kind of a ho-hum week, Angie.
Yeah. This whole entire year has just been so boring. I think I need to find a new hobby or something.
I've been yawning this entire time before you came on, so sorry about that. So it's just another 50-cent week, another 27-cent week. The overlying question in all of this, Angie, though, is how much higher. Right now, it feels like we're on one of those roller coaster rides that we think is great because it's going so fast and so up, but it's pretty scary right now. Wheat has come along now for the ride. I guess let's stick with the amusement park. Is the ride over anytime soon for wheat?
Oh, goodness, no. I think we got a couple more loop-de-loos and probably another hill to the high side. I mean, I don't know. You had asked me that the last time I was on, and it was, oh, yeah, we're probably not going to see beans try anything higher. We're probably not going to see corn. You know, we'll trade sideways for a while. And I was looking at it the other day. I'm like, oh, good call, Angie. Only missed it by like $3 in soybeans and $2 in corn. And the reality is right now, there's way too much in the way of uncertainty. Now, if we had had a normal, if we had good weather taking place in Brazil right now, we would just be trading the inflation story because the Brazilian thing wouldn't be that big a deal. But the reality is that the drought in Brazil, is something that is going to have an incredible reduction on their old crop corn availability, or the corn availability that we were kind of relying on between July and October to get us by. And so now we're just kind of trying to figure out how the world is going to resolve that.
All right, let's specifically move into wheat. I know that it's a global thing all over the place, and that's all right. We have wheat right now at 761 is where this thing closed. It looks like, Angie, it is going along for the ride, but it does have some dry factors in the Dakotas and other wheat areas to the west. Has weather taken over going along for the ride with wheat?
Yeah, weather and corn. I mean, so the weather issue is a huge issue when it comes to the Northern Plains. Is something like, 98% or above 90% of North Dakota's crop production or wheat production areas. And, you know, you're not just talking a little bit of drought. We're talking extreme drought conditions. We also have the issues in South Dakota and other spring wheat areas. And so, you know, there was a lot of concern about how that would work, what we would see from a ratio standpoint on acreage overall, and you know, all of these things. And we saw some pretty rapid planting pace in the spring wheat area. But the fact of the matter is, you know, they're dry. They're incredibly dry. And so weather is a story when it comes to spring wheat production. The Southern Plains look like they should see some soils getting recharged, but wheat also is following corn. Wheat right now is the replacement feed. And so the wheat story is one that they're kind of tied to one another, and traders really kind of struggle with the idea of, wheat shouldn't trade below corn, right? That's against the rules. We did see it happen 2012-2013 timeframe where wheat did trade underneath corn for a short period of time. And if we keep it up, we probably, you know, at the rate we're going. But so wheat's got two stories: that Northern Plains drought, you know, with that hard wheat. And then, of course, the idea that it's going to replace a lot of corn and rations simply because it's going to be more available here in another month or so. And, you know, we're going to need it.
Let's go stay in South Dakota. Shulky on Twitter is asking us a question about protecting things. And that's really kind of what other analysts have talked about is protection. And he's asking, what's your favorite way to protect corn bushels that are unsold and will be stored, being that December, July just went inverted? You kind of talked about the inversion a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is the best way to do it, you know, puts right now are extremely expensive, you know, but they would have some value to them. I really, honestly, at this point in time, and I'm not saying that you completely go unhedged or do anything of that nature, we're just utilizing the scale sell approach. I'm not spending much in the way of money on options until we figure out which direction this market really wants to go. And right now, the path of least resistance is higher. Let's look at December corn here. What do? We gained 67 cents in 3 days, you know? And so if you would have bought puts on Monday, you really kind of wasted your money. I mean, they're there, they're going to be there, they're long-term sort of protection, you know, but from an overall standpoint right now, I just really kind of we're taking the approach of, you know, if you get another 50 cents or so, you sell another 10% and just kind of continue to scale sell. The downside risk is there, but the reality of us really facing this huge downside risk with everything else that's taking place right now in the world, you know, what I've told most of my customers that I'm working with is put it on your whiteboard, circle it on the calendar. June 15th is when we really get serious about kind of looking at figuring out where the market is, where our downside risk is, what we need to protect. Until we get closer to having a better idea as to what we're going to see from acres, once the crops emerge, once we get a good feel for what pollination weather looks like, then you really get serious about protecting this downside. You know, in the meantime, I'm just more of the side of things where you just kind of continue to trickle your sales in and take advantage of the market that's moving higher.
All right. You mentioned December. Almost 13%, 73 cents on December just this week alone. In soybeans, November contract is almost the same story. November contract, 7%, up almost a dollar. November is almost caught up to the nearby. Again, same strategy. Are you selling a little bit at a time here?
Little bit at a time. I mean, it's the same story. You know, we're really looking new crop. We keep talking about 2008, right? Everyone keeps talking about 2008 and everyone shows the picture of 2008 where we went up and then we came right back down. And it's true. This is very much like 2008 because we have the inflation story. Okay. We also have a supply and demand story. And I am sitting here as a person that was like, yeah. I've traded the supply and demand bullishness for the last 5 years. I am cynical. I am jaded. I don't believe that something will change. But until something changes, which isn't going to happen until the June 30th report, the USDA is married to that acreage number they came out with. You look at new crop S&D outlooks, carryout outlooks, you're talking about, you know, corn at what, 1.35? So that's still exceptionally tight from a stocks to use standpoint. Absolutely zero room for risk. Beans, they're looking at 135, same story. And so, yeah, you just kind of trickle a little bit in. I'm not saying you stop. I'm not saying you just sit here and say, well, the girl on Mark to Market said it's going higher, so I'm just going to wait and see. But you just have to start to take a look at the fact that we are going to remain relatively supported until the Fed changes their tune on rates and until we can confirm that the crop that we're going to have produced this year is good. Now, the reality is it's going to be. The reality is global supplies are going to increase exponentially. The reality is that China is probably going to be dealing with some ASF issues, and they may see some slowdowns in demand. And so long term, this market has some potential, some real risk to the downside. But for the next 4 weeks or so, just enjoy it. Like if you have motion sickness, pop a Dramamine and just love the fact that every sale you make is another 50 or 75 cents higher. And you're hopefully, you know, kind of rebuilding some of that equity.
Okay, so what are you telling livestock producers? Because they're on this end wondering, when is our time coming? When are we going to rise? Hogs have. They're the first to celebrate. You talk about China and ASF. Mm-hmm. You want to start with cattle? You want to start with hogs? You get to pick.
Hogs are amazing, and I also definitely misread the hog market. But you saw exports this week up substantially. So this therein lies the struggle when I talk about China and ASF. It amazes me, if you read a Livestock Wire, how bullish they are on Chinese demand for imports of meat, specifically pork. You read a Grain Wire, and they're very bullish on demand when it comes to China for feed for the hogs. One of these things is not like the other. I've spent some time watching Sesame Street, and I can't get it in my head how they're congruent. But hogs right now, you can't ignore same exact story. For one, we have the inflationary pressure in commodities. And then for two, we have a supply and demand situation. We have a reduction in freezer supplies. We have an increase in demand overall. And you really can't increase substantially the amount of supply that's making its way through the processor. And so in hogs, that's bullish right now, right? In cattle, it seems to be bearish. Long term, we've been here before. I just talked to a cattle producer who's also a grain farmer, and he's like, you just gotta wait. Eventually it swings back. You gotta make your way through the hard times and it'll swing back. And that's the case. It's just really hard right now. You know, at least in the past times, in 2012, as a cattle producer, you could prepare yourself because you saw the crop drying out. You knew that we were going to be extremely tight. This year is so different in the sense that we thought we were going to zero. I mean, a year ago, I probably was on this show and handing out tissues because the grain prices were going to zero. So it really blindsided a lot of folks to see this cost increase. It increases as fast as what it has. You know, we're going to be telling our kids about this and our grandkids about this for years and years and years, the 21 market. And so, you know, short term, I think hogs are the bullish story. And I think they continue to trade really strong as we continue to see that demand. I think long-term cattle gets to wear the crown eventually.
Eventually. All right, 30 seconds on feeders. That market keeps going. Are you expanding right now if you're a feeder, knowing that maybe brighter days are ahead?
If you've got the equity, if you have the equity, I think they are. If you're really struggling, or the equity and the ability to feed, I think there is some expansion going on there. There's always the people that function under the, you know, the blood in the streets, there's opportunity sort of mentality. They're going to take advantage of it. They've been waiting, saving up for a moment like this, hopefully, you know, but there are some that definitely won't. And there's some that probably will get out of that business and stay out of it.
All right. Angie Setzer, thank you for the Sesame Street reference, the checks in the mail. All right, that'll do it for this installment of Market to Market. We will talk more in Market Plus, so join us there. Find that on our website of markettomarket.org. And school may be winding down for the year, but that means learning doesn't stop. In fact, our classroom project is always open. We have modules from business, history, to the study of commodities. Click on the classroom tab the next time that you visit markettomarket.org. Next week, we look at how dry conditions in the West are renewing an old debate. Thank you so much for watching and have a great week.